tell me, give me for the radio, a sort of a physical description of how you see and read and operate in this place. Where are we?
Well, the many years ago, we had a few pieces that customers just refused to pick up, and so to get the expense of the repair, we stuck it out for sale, and people would come in and buy it, and I thought that was kind of a neat thing, because I got to pretend I was a stereo salesman instead of just a repairman. And sort of a turning point came. I had a call from a woman over by the airport, and she said, "My husband just passed away, and he has a really big stereo. Would you sell it for me?" And I thought, I had no idea why she called me, but I said, "I'll come over and look at it, and sure, we'll work something out." And so her husband indeed had a very big stereo, and we picked it all up and brought it in here. And I thought, you know, this could be a business. So we began encouraging people who were, you know, of course, you didn't need your record player back then because records were old-fashioned. You just throw it away and get your CDs. And stereos were old-fashioned. You wanted surround sound for your home theater, so get rid of your old stereo. And your speakers are too big, so get some of these little speakers and a subwoofer. And so there were a lot of reasons to get rid of the old stereo equipment that was made in the 60s and 70s and to some extent the 80s. So the more I encourage people to bring in equipment and participate in this resale, the more it happened. So the front area is just, it's the world's smallest stereo store. And it's, I try to have one of everything. So, you know, something for somebody that's 20 years old and has $200, and then something that, you know, somebody with the means can plop down. I mean, I have a FM tuner that's $400. So WMOT might be the only station worth listening to, so you really have to like it a lot. But, you know, it's like Crazy Bunny, but it's a cool piece. And
it's a Marantz.
Yeah, it's a Marantz.
Like in the 80s. Is that it from the 80s?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great looking unit. It's a big. It's a big piece for a radio.
Yeah,
it doesn't have a speaker or an amplifier.
It's got dancing wiggly green lines, and it's got a blue dial, and I mean, it's got sex appeal. So this is like 20 by 20, so it's about 400 square feet that's devoted to sales, and then the rest is all service. And we've ended up storing quite a bit of the overflow and the consignment. It probably I got carried away with it, but it you know, I guess being a business owner, you get to do what interests you, and it interests me to sort of match up people and stereos, and it's kind of an art. You know, somebody walks in here and says, "I'm looking for a stereo," and I say, "Have you had a stereo before?" "Well, no, I don't know anything about it." "Well, you know, what size room are you going to put it in?" "Well, we're going to put it in the living room." "Okay." And right away, you know that they need some sort of large system. They can't get by with a little tiny system. It's just not going to work in the living room. We go on from there. You know, what type of music do you listen to? And eventually, we get to budget, and we look around and see what's here, and sort of match something up, and it's worked pretty well.
Have those conversations, that inquisitiveness, that, have you noticed changes over time, or the kinds of people that are asking what you see as, you know, intelligent questions and have a real desire to have that final experience of enjoying the music without a lot of hassle, but something quality? And like, are there patterns there?
There are, and it's interesting because of course, the internet, everybody can go on their internet and say, you know, what receiver should I buy? And you'll always get the answer, oh, buy a Marantz. And so folks come in looking for a Marantz, and Marantz prices are through the roof, and most people don't sell their old Marantz, so we don't often have it. But if I can point to that very nice Sansui over there, and I talk about how nice it sounds, and we turn it on, and they kind of agree, yeah, that sounds nice, and they take it home, and then they go, wow. You know, the same sort of experience that you felt when you went in Nicholson's is happens to young people when all they've heard is headphones or speakers on their phone, or, you know, maybe a Sonos, but probably not a Sonos because that costs a lot of money. And they get this wow experience. And it kind of turns them into seekers for old technology. So 10 years ago, everybody was trying to get a record player again, trying to get a turntable so they could buy used records. And of course, the record companies, the artists sort of reissued records or made new records and pressed on vinyl. And that really came back. Well, starting 3 years ago, the same thing happened to cassettes, because indie bands were sitting there saying, well, we want to give our fans something when they come to the concert, something to buy, and a digital file doesn't cut it, so let's hand them a cassette. And so people were coming up with cassettes going, well, how do we use this? And so there's been a huge demand for tape Walkmans and cassette players. They kind of go out of here about as quickly as we could put them out. And you know, who knew? This is really old technology. And we've got all crazy nuts who want to put things on reel-to-reel tape, which takes a lot of time, takes up a lot of space, but they sound great and they're fun to watch. And that's a trend that, you know, even it crosses from 70 years old down to 16. I mean, it's not there's not a demographic. Women tend to buy a little bit less stereo than men, but one of my favorite customers has one of the largest, physically largest receivers ever built. She's had it for years and she loves it.
That's nice to hear, because I do have this overwhelming feeling that in the demographics of audio, the industry has tended to almost put kind of lingo and acculturation that has pushed women away, when in fact it's ultimately something that everyone could share in. And
I'm not a believer in specifications. People always say, well, how much power does it have? And it's, the question is, how much power do you need? And nobody knows the answer to that. And it turns out you just want the appropriate amount of power to match the speaker that you like. And so speakers are like online dating. You listen to each one and each one's different. And so once you pick the speaker that you like, well, then that sort of leads to the amount of power that you need, so forth and so on.
So,
and no numbers.
Right, you know, right.
Numbers are meaningless.
As you look to retirement, I think that there's a sense that this is the last bastion of a place that does trustworthy repair work on this equipment, and that there's a sort of feeling of, is this an artisanal need that Music City has, if not life in general, but Music City specifically. Do you think about that? What are people telling you? Oh, Tommy, once you're gone, no one will repair these fantastic units from the 60s, 70s, and 80s. It'll really hurt. Talk me through that. And is there a generation that knows how to get inside this gear and follow the electrons and so forth?
I hear the lamentations quite often, and I don't have an answer, because there is no one established right now that specifically focuses on stereo. There are people doing little fringe things. One of my hopes is that there is someone who sees the vacuum and just rises up and does something. It will probably not be anyone in a what we call brick and mortar type of place. And the nice thing is with Facebook and social media, news of somebody that's doing repairs really gets around quickly. And one of the things I'm doing, well, a couple of things I'm doing, I'm going to, with the cooperation of Phonolux Records, we're going to sort of have turntable clinics where we're going to replace needles and belts and just do maintenance on turntables maybe once a month or something like that. And so obviously if you're into records, you sort of need that, and that's fun to do. I like doing that. So there'll be a little bit of outreach. And the other thing I do is I participate in an online forum that provides a lot of technical support, primarily for tape recorders. And I really believe strongly that whatever I know, I've got to find some way to pass it on or help young people. You know, if they have the time and the interest and they're smart, they can kind of pick this stuff up, even though, you know, most would say, well, that's a dying, you know, that's gone. It's too late. But there are people who, I mean, I've got a friend who fixes steam tractors, you know, and who knows, you know, you can't go to school to learn how steam engines work. So it's always possible.
Have you had any kind of apprenticeship culture here? Is there anybody you'd speak to that you've, in a way, mentored?
In a way, yes. But the economics are such that, you know, if you want to go into this business, you will become a thousandaire. You know, it's not like it used to be. I sent my kid to college repairing convergence problems on big screen TVs, and you know, everybody had a big screen, and the convergence section would always fail, and those days are gone. So there's no money in it. It's just kind of a labor of love. But that being said, if somebody comes in and says, "Oh, I really want to do this," I would love to encourage them and assist them if possible.
I do. You remarked on the vinyl surge, and I've watched it with such interest because it, to me, is a bellwether, a sort of leading indicator of a tip of an iceberg of a culture that's going, wow, we kind of did let ourselves get convinced that MP3s on earbuds were music and sound good enough, and that good enough is good enough. And I do feel like things are heading in a direction, and I do think that having access to quality vintage or used gear is a real key to getting a lot of people a sense of realistic way in to high fidelity listening. There's amazing new gear at fair prices, but it's still a bit of a commitment. And I think the verses, you know, between that world, I would say you probably want to look to a $2,000 to $3,000 budget as table stakes. For something really nice in quality. I'm very, very happy with my $2,000 system at home. but I still lust, of course. But for in a world like this, you know, $800, $900, you could probably get yourself to a very surprising place in your home.
Oh, actually, $500. Mm-hmm. So you can do just fine with that. Yeah. That's the beauty of used equipment, that you're kind of recycling the beauty of used equipment. There are thousands of speakers. There are hundreds and hundreds of turntable models. There are amplifiers and receivers. There's just all these designers and manufacturers, and all had ears. They were all trying to do something, and it sounds kind of silly, but they didn't make stuff like cookie cutter. It all sounds different. And what's neat about the used equipment market is the cream rises to the top. So you discover that, golly, Sansui made some wonderful sounding electronics, and they did it for a decade. And Yamaha made some wonderful sounding electronics, and they did it for almost two decades. And it's a fun discovery. I love listening to CDs. Well, I hate CDs, but I love listening to CDs through equipment that was made before the CD was ever envisioned. So here's a digital source going through something that was never intended for digital, and yet it makes you happier listening to it than anything else. The other issue is control. And I think if you have if you're streaming, there's an algorithm sort of selecting what you hear. Is it, it's kind of easy, and you can kind of ignore it and go on and do whatever you need to do. In the old days, you know, the DJ would put on a record and it would just blow your mind. And it used to be here, it would only happen after midnight, but you know, that was kind of the again, this experience where music is mind-blowing. And here it's the source material, the performance or whatever, rather than the stereo that's reproducing it. But you can kind of put the two together and just have a lot of fun.
Thanks for being here all this time. And thanks for this time. This is really great to talk to you.
Thank you, Craig.